عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البدحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعدها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد محمد
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من أراد أن ينظر إلى أحب أهل الأرض والسماء فلينظر إلى الحسين. وقال أيضا: دخلت الجنة فرأيت على بابها مكتوبا لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله علي ولي الله وفاطمة أمة الله والحسن والحسين صفوة الله على محبيهم رحمة الله وعلى مبغضيهم لعنة الله. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل
To congratulate the Imam of our time, Imam Waliyul Asr Sahib al-Zaman.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Alayhi salatu wassalam wa ajjallahu ta'ala faradhu al-sharif. And all the Ahlul Bayt, specifically Hadrat Zahra sallallahu alayha, on the occasion of the birth of her son Imam Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam. And I would like to congratulate all the fuqaha and mujtahideen and all our maraji', may Allah protect all of them. Specifically, Samahatul Wali al-Faqih, Hafadahullah, the Islamic leader, and all the mu'mineen and mu'minat in the entire world, specifically all of you respectable brothers and sisters on this great occasion. Also, your community deserves the tabriq and congratulations for this new center and the opening of this new center, mashallah, which is one of the very good achievements for this city. Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam is a personality which is beloved in the eyes of everyone. And starting from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we find that when Imam Hussein alayhi salam is a young boy and the Holy Prophet is leading his prayers in the Masjid al-Nabi, and Imam Hussein comes on the back of the Holy Prophet during the sajda, and Prophet was about to remove Imam Hussein from his back, And Allah sends Jibreel with the revelation that do not remove Hussein unless he gets off your back himself. And the Prophet had to say Subhan Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdi 70 times till Imam Hussein alayhi salam went off his back himself, and it became the sunnat of Rasulullah, and it became part of the sharia that you can say Subhan Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdi 70 times in the sajda because of the ta'zeem of Imam Hussein ibn Ali.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
That's the respect of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Because Imam Hussein alayhi salam is the ruh of sajda. He is the essence of all the ibadat and worships in Islam, not just the sajda. Sajda being the peak and summit of our ibadat, when we put our forehead, and forehead is the highest point in the head of a person. The head is the most superior part of the human body, and the most superior part's highest point has to be placed on the soil upon the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this provides the highest level of nuraniyat for the person when you are mutawadhi and khadi and modest and humble in towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. According to what my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafizahullah was saying in his lesson, that harche insan be khak nazdiktar mi shawad ba khudayish nazdiktar mi shawad. The sentences of our Urafa, although it may sound very simple, but they are really a big lesson for us if we ponder and think. If we are among Ulul Albab. So, as much the more a person, the more a human is closer to the soil, the closer he gets to his Lord. And it was the sunnah of Rasulullah that when he used to perform the sajda, his entire face used to become soily. Chehreye payambar pakalud mishud hingam sajde. That was his sunnah. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam is also very beloved in the eyes of Rasulullah, because we find it has been narrated that Muhaddis Qummi has narrated that a person in Medina, whenever he used to do a sin, he used to come to Rasulullah and seek Prophet's forgiveness, and Allah used to forgive him. Till a time arrived that this sinner, he did something really bad, and when this time he came to see Rasulullah, Prophet turned him away. Prophets asked him to go away. Sometimes we may do such heinous crimes that even the most merciful of all the messengers, who is Rahmatul Lil Alameen, can turn us away also. We have to be careful. So the guy went. When he was leaving, Muhaddis Qummi says that on his way in the alley, he found Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhi salam, two children walking. What he did is that he grabbed the two sons of the Prophet and asked them to sit on his shoulders, one on each shoulder, and he returned back to Rasulullah and said this statement that Inni mustajirun billahi ilayka billahi wa bihima. And I am seeking refuge through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and through Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhi salam towards you.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Prophet forgave him. So you can understand the high level of love that Imam Hussein alayhi salam enjoys. It's unparalleled, unsurpassable. I already cited the hadith in the beginning of my speech from the Holy Prophet where he said, whosoever wishes to see the most beloved person among the dwellers of the heaven and the most beloved person among the dwellers of earth should look at Hussein. There isn't anybody more beloved among all the angels who are living and all those personalities who are residing in the heavens and among all those humans who are residing on this planet. There isn't anybody. Period. And when the Prophet was taken on Mi'raj, on his ascension, when he crossed those 70 hijabat, hijabul dhahab, hijabul lulu, and so forth, and finally he was taken to the divine vehicle, which we call ar-rafraful akhbar, the green rafraf, and Prophet got aboard that green rafraf, and then he was taken to the arsh and throne of Allah. And Prophet said, when I had a look at the arsh and the throne, everything that I saw before it became small in my eyes. So it's unimaginable for us to comprehend and to digest this throne and arsh of Allah, which symbolizes His azamat and greatness. Of course, it's not physical. You're talking about Alamun Nur and Alamun Tajarrud. Nothing of Alamun Tajarrud is physical. And then Prophet said that I saw on the pillar of Arsh, it was written that Inna al-Husayna misbahu huda wa safinatu najatin. That Hussein is the torch of guidance and the ship of success. So, no one can understand the highness of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The azamat and greatness of our Lord is resting on the pillar which says that Imam Hussein alayhi salam is the torch of guidance and the goal of success. The azamat and greatness of Allah is resting on that pillar. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam is the essence of Tawheed. The Tawheed and the Kalima of La ilaha illallah and the azamat and greatness and lordship of Allah is surviving because of Imam Hussein. So when someone is that high, when someone is so beloved, when someone has that sort of sacrifices, that he kept nothing for himself, everything of his was for the sake of God, then whosoever is his enemy becomes the enemy of God. And whosoever loves him becomes the beloved of God. Because Prophet has said, which how it is narrated by Imam Ahmad, you know, in Musnad Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, that Prophet said that Husaynu minni wa ana min Husayn, ahabba Allahu man ahabba Husaynan. And in another hadith, the Prophet said that Allahumma inni uhibbuhuma, talking about Imam Hassan and Imam Husayn. Oh my Lord, I love them. Wa uhibbu man yuhibbuhuma. And I love all those. And I love the one who loves both of them. Wa fa ahibbahuma. So you also love both of them. And also we find that Imam Hussein alayhi salam is the beloved of Hazrat Zahra salamu alayhi alayha.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Sheikh Mufid rahmatullah alayhi has narrated that Hazrat Zahra, Imam Hussein was very much resembling to Imam Ali in his appearance, not resembling with Rasulullah. Imam Hassan was resembling to Rasulullah in his appearance, whereas Imam Hussein was a copy of Imam Ali alayhi salam in his appearance. So in her lullabies, when Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha used to say her lullabies for Imam Hussein when he was in the cradle, this is narrated by Sheikh Mufid rahmatullah alayhi, that that she used to say that Husaynan wa Husayna wa Husayna, Ghariban wa Ghariba wa Ghariba, Karbala ma zilti, Karbala la zilti, Karban wa Bala, Husaynan wa Husayna wa Husayna. This is what Hazara used to say in her lullaby to Imam Husayn alayhi salam. And also we find that when Ubay bin Ka'b was sitting with Rasulullah and Imam Husayn alayhi salam, who was just a child, he arrived in that gathering. Prophet looked at Imam Husayn and said, Marhaban bika, Ya Zain al-Samawati wal-Arb. Welcome to you, O the person who is the beauty of all the heavens and earth. And Ubay bin Ka'b said to Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, O the Messenger of God, is there any other person other than you who is the beauty of heavens and earth? And Prophet replied that Inna al-Husayn ibn Ali, إِنَّ الْحُسَيْنَ ابْنَ عَلِي فِي السَّمَاءِ أَكْبَرْ مِنْهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. That Husayn ibn Ali on the heaven is greater than Husayn ibn Ali is there on earth. Ibn Shahr Ashub, one of our great historians, has narrated that Imam Husayn sucked the thumb of Rasulullah when he was a baby for 40 days straight. And because of the fact that he sucked the thumb of prophethood, not just the prophet, but actually the prophethood, that's the reason Ibn Shahr Ashub says in his book, that's the reason that the imamat and walayat continued from the lineage of Imam Husayn alayhi
salam. Allah
When Imam Husayn was a child, and this hadith has been narrated by Salman Farsi, rahmatullah alayhi wa salamullah alayhi, where, you know, he says that I saw the Holy Prophet talking to Imam Husayn alayhi salam when he was a child and saying, Anta Sayyid Abu Sada, Anta Imam Abu Al-Aimma, Anta Al-Hujjah Abu Al-Hujaj, Tis'atun Min Sulbika, Tasi'uhum Qa'imuhum. That you are the leader, the father of the leaders, and you are the Imam, the father of the Imams, and you are the Hujjat and divine evidence upon the entire universe, and father of the divine evidences, and nine are from your lineage, and the ninth one is the one who is going to uprise. So we will come to the point where I would like to mention some of the specific attributes of Imam Husayn alayhi salam, although we believe that awwaluna Muhammad wa akhiruna Muhammad wa awsatuna Muhammad wa kulluna Muhammad.
Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And that's narrated by Sayyid Abdullah Shubba in his book Masabihul Anwar fi Hal Mushkilat al-Akhbar. So we believe that all of them are part of one noor, and there is no difference because they are part of one noor. But still, having said that, there are certain specific attributes found in one ma'asum which are not found in the other. And I would mention few of those attributes, but before I get to that point, Imam Husayn alayhi salam, it's important to really remember that he, Imam Hassan and Imam Husayn, are considered to be the sons of Rasulullah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran, you know, when he talks about in the ayatul mubahala, Allah says, فَمَنْ حَاجَّكَ فِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ فَقُلْ تَعَالَوْ نَدْعُ أَبْنَاءَنَا وَأَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَنِسَاءَنَا وَنِسَاءَكُمْ وَأَنفُسَنَا وَأَنفُسَكُمْ ثُمَّ نَبْتَهِلْ فَنَجْعَلْ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَاذِبِينَ. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talks about abna'ana, our children, you know, the only personalities who were taken by Rasulullah at the occasion of Mubahala was Imam Hassan and Imam Hussain in the place of abna'ana. So basically, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussain are the children of Rasulullah. And likewise, it is important to realize that the greatness of our Ma'sumeen alayhi salam is not emotional. We don't have anything emotional in Islam. There's no room for emotions in Islam. Everything is well calculated, well defined, based on concrete, logical and narrated evidences, and there's no room for anybody to have emotions. So we don't believe about Imam Hussain alayhi salam being so high just because we are born to such and such parents. Not at all. We have concrete evidences for what we believe in. Imam Hussain alayhi salam has earned that highness. Didn't the Holy Prophet say to Imam Hussain, "Inna laka la darajat lan tanalaha bishahada"? You have certain levels that you can never achieve without shahadat and martyrdom. So Imam Hussain alayhi salam had achieved certain levels because of what he did. So we should never consider these great levels of Ahlul Bayt as something which is a discrimination, God forbid, discrimination from Allah's behalf. No, Allah doesn't discriminate. Someone who has more taqwa is more higher in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when somebody came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and said that you are the son of Rasulullah, you are the son of Rasulullah, that means he was trying to say, well, you people, you already have that highness, you are from the lineage of Rasulullah, and you are the son of the Prophet. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam replied, "Wilayati lahu afdal min wiladati minhu." That means my walayat towards Amirul Mumineen alayhi salam, me accepting the concept of the governance of Imam Ali alayhi salam as my ruler, instead of accepting any taghut to be my ruler, this is more superior than me getting born from his lineage. Wilayati lahu, wilayati lahu afdal min wiladati minhu. So it's about the earned levels. We have to earn the levels. You cannot just sit idle and say, well, we can just keep on praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he's going to award us. No, it's never going to happen. Imam Ali alayhi salam has said that yakfi du'a ma'al bir, as much du'a is enough along with the good deeds, as much as you put the salt in the food. If you are cooking 1 pound, 1 kilogram of food, are you going to put 900 grams of salt in it? That's logic. Nobody's going to do that unless you want to spoil the food. So how much salt you put? Imam Ali Islam says, yakfid du'a ma'al bir, that much du'a along with the good deeds is enough, as much as you put the salt in the food. So we need to focus on our amal, our actions. Our actions should be classified, quote unquote, as beloved actions and demanded actions and liked actions in the dictionary of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then along after doing the action, you can do a little bit of the dua. Very good. And that's it. You cannot do 90% of the dua and 10% of your actions. It's never going to work. So Imam Hussain alayhi salam has earned those levels. One of the great aspects of his personality, he used to respect the poor people. He was a companion of the poor, like his father, like his grandfather, you know. Instead of hanging around with the rich upper elite class of the society and down looking at the poor and downtrodden class of the society, that was never done by Rasulullah and never done by Amirul Mumineen alayhi salam. Yes, if a rich person has taqwa, We are here to respect him. We can respect him. We will respect him. But not because of his richness, because of his taqwa. So we cannot even have a different behavior. You know, the Holy Prophet has said that man akrama ghaniyan lighinahu dhahaba sudusa dinihi. Whosoever respects a rich person because of his richness, 2/3 of his religion is gone. Dhahaba sudusa dinihi. And we are proud over these values of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. So we don't respect any rich, we respect those who have taqwa. Imam Hussein in Tafsir al-Ayyashi, it has been narrated, he was passing by riding his horse. He was passing by and he found a bunch of miskeen people. Miskeen in a word, fitka, somebody who is worse, more broke than a faqir. Faqir is a terminology of Islamic jurisprudence. So someone, man la yamliku ma'unat as-sana, someone who doesn't have the expenses of a year. He's called faqir. And miskeen, huwa aswa'u halan min al-faqir. Miskeen is a person who is even further broke than a faqir person. So there are a bunch of masakeen in the city of Medina sitting there, eating dry bread. They saw Imam Hussein alayhi salam passing by and they invited that, Yabna Rasulullah, why don't you come and join us in the food? We are talking about the earned azmat and greatness of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. How you earn greatness. So Imam Hussein get off the animal that he was riding and he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like the mutakabbir and arrogant. And he sat alongside with those miskeen people and ate the food with them. And after doing that, he invited all of them to his place and provided food for them and provided gifts for them. This is the tawadhu and this is the humble behavior of our imams whom we believe in. You see, Sayyid Mutahhari rahmatullah alayhi has said that some of the Shias today, if they look at our imams, if they look at him, Amir al-Mumineen alayhi salam, they would say, this is not the Ali we used to believe in. Because some of the people in our community, generally speaking, their behavior have gotten so far from the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt, that if they had a chance to look at the Ahlul Bayt and the Holy Prophet, they would deny, this is not the kind of Imam Ali I used to think that I used to believe in. Because actually our behaviors are far away from the realities, how they were. So we need to analyze, you know, Imam Baqir al-Sadr rahmatullahi alayh, he had said in his book that we need, every Shia is obliged to scrutinize himself. That if we were there in the time of, Harun al-Rashid, were we in the time of Imam al-Qadhim alayhi salam, were we ready to give the government and the charge of the government into the hands of Imam al-Qadhim alayhi salam? Because, see, these guys, Harun and Mamun, they used to claim that they were the Shias. They used to claim they were the followers of Ahlul Bayt. But still were occupying and usurping the government from Ahlul Bayt. So if we were there in the time of Harun Rashid, were we ready to give the government's affairs in the control of Imam al-Qadhim alayhi salam? Or we were there to have our ego problems coming in. You know, I'm not ready to give the charge of a small organization into the hands of Wali al-Faqih, for instance. But I can claim that I can, you know. You go to any organization, you find so many organizations, it's written, our organization is running under Imam Sahib al-Zaman, Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam. And then some of those organizations have put a ban on those scholars who talk about Walayatul Faqih. And those scholars who talk about the Day of Quds. So tomorrow the Zionists have occupied. Today they occupied Baytul Muqaddas and Masjid al-Aqsa. And tomorrow they plan to occupy Medina and destroy the Holy Kaaba. You can find the pictures on the Zionist websites destroying the Kaaba. And tomorrow they want to occupy Medina and Najaf. And Karbala, from Nile to Euphrates. It's not a hidden confidential information. You can go to Amazon.com and you can find the protocols of the Zions. Unless we want to turn our blind eye. So there was one son of a man who rose up and raised his voice, Imam Khomeini, Ridwanullah alayhi, who rose his voice, that it is compulsory on every moment to protest on the Day of Quds on the last Friday of the month of Ramadan. Because we cannot afford Najaf and Karbala and Medina and Makkah to be ruined by the Zionists. But then we make an organization and we put a ban on all those scholars who talk about Yawmul Quds. And then we say our organization is running under Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. So we find that Imam Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam was he encountered a person from Sham. His name was Isam ibn Mustalaq. That's also narrated by Muhaddith al-Qummi rahmatullah alayh. This Isam ibn Mustalaq came from Sham, where it was the government of Muawiyah. Muawiyah started the la'an and cursing of Imam Ali alayhi salam from 80,000 member. Officially, it was an official ordinance and order from Muawiyah's government in Sham, the renegade empire in Syria, and to curse Imam Ali, every Darbari mullah was forced to curse Imam Ali alayhi salam from different member. So that was the situation in Sham. This guy came from Sham, he met Imam Hussein alayhi salam on the streets of Medina, and he asked, are you the son of Abu Turab? And Imam Hussein alayhi salam said yes. He himself is narrating, Isam himself is the Ravi and narrator of this riwayat. He says, فَبَالَغْتُ فِي شَتْمِهِ وَشَتْمِ أَبِيهِ. And I started to curse, to abuse, to have an abusive language towards Imam Hussein and towards his father. As soon as I saw him, I started abusing him and, you know, using abusive language towards him and his father. فَنَظَرَ إِلَيَّ نَظْرَةَ عَاتِفٍ رَؤُوفٍ. You're talking about the earned greatness of Imam Hussein. The greatness doesn't come as a given value in your soul. You have to earn the greatness. So we find Imam Hussein Islam had a فَنَظَرَ إِلَيْهِ نَظَرَةَ عَاتِفٍ رَؤُوفٍ. He had a look towards the guy in a very merciful way. وَقَالَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ and بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ خُذِ الْعَفْوَ. Imam Hussein recited this ayat of Quran, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. And these ayat were recited, and then he said, خَفِّضْ عَلَيْكَ اسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكَ. You know, take it easy, and in other words, and you know, seek forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for myself and for you. So that guy was a bit cooled down when he looked at this beautiful behavior, ethical behavior of Imam Hussein, instead of, you know, charging on him when he was abusing Imam Hussein. He didn't, you know, start aggressive language against Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein did not start aggressive language against him. Instead, he had such a nice and humble talk. So the guy was a little bit repenting in his qalb, in his heart, on this behavior. And Imam Hussein said, well, if you need our help, we are ready to help you. If you want something from us, we are ready to give it to you. If you are, you know, seeking some advice, I'm ready to even advise you. And then Isam says, well, I was really repenting by that time, because I saw such a nice behavior in the face of my arrogant behavior. And then we find Imam Hussein alayhi salam reciting this verse of Holy Quran, لا تسريب عليكم اليوم يغفر الله لكم وهو أرحم الراحمين. And then Imam started to pray. He said, حَيَّنَ اللَّهُ وَإِيَّاكَ. May Allah give you long life and to us. And any hajat, anything that you want to ask, you can ask from us, and inshallah, I will be there to fulfill it. This guy said, well, I wished from God that maybe the earth rips apart and opens up and I get buried alive, so that I could not have to face such a humble person who is behaving with such humbleness in front of my arrogance. That was the behavior of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam towards those who used to insult. But certainly I would like to mention a point. Now that we are talking about the insult, it is very important to remember the point that we should never misinterpret the Islamic teachings or disinform the masses about the Islamic teachings or inform the people with the incomplete information. Because there are some people today who are saying that, well, we should forgive Salman Rushdie for what he did. Taking their istidlal from the behavior of Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt that they used to forgive their enemies. So now let's come to the point. Let's be very clear about it. Okay? Now, first of all, and there are some of those mullahs today who are saying that Salman Rushdie should be forgiven, because if Prophet was there, you know, he would have, since the Prophet would have the right used to forgive his enemies, so we also need to do the same thing what the Prophet used to do. Now my question to you, brothers and sisters, is there any person on earth who has the right to forgive someone who insults the Holy Prophet without asking the Holy Prophet? Did the Holy Prophet give you the right in proxy to forgive? And yes, the Prophet has the right to forgive. If he is available, he can forgive. But it's entirely up to him. Are we empowered to decide on behalf of the Holy Prophet? Who are we to decide? Who has the right to forgive on the behalf of? If somebody hurts you, do I have the right to forgive that guy? Who am I? Unless you, the party to the issue, forgive yourself. Isn't that right? That's the ABC of our fiqh. But there are some Darbari mullahs who are going so far to please the Zionists that they are saying we should forgive. So, Islam doesn't believe in violence and arrogance or terrorism. Islam is the victim of the worst of terrorism done by some of those people who claim to be very civilized, quote unquote. Islam is the victim of terrorism, but we have every right to defend our values and to defend our greatest personalities. So enough is enough. And we thank Imam Khomeini Ridwanullahi Alayh for protecting the dignity of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the time when people were silent. Some people are such, they consider themselves to be very pious and very muqaddas and very holy. You know, this guy, you know, sitting in wherever, this city and that city, you know, he's a very nice person. This, you know, if I'm sitting in Seattle, well, I'm a, you know, this person is very humble and very nice. He doesn't care about what's going on, you know. He just keeps on praying and fasting and goes for Hajj and all that. And because he's a very holy person. Where does your holiness come from? Where does your taqaddus come from? Our taqaddus and qudsiyyat is derived from the taqaddus and qudsiyyat of Rasulullah and the Holy Quran. If you are not here to even respect the dignity of Rasulullah and the namus of Rasulullah, and you still consider yourself to be very holy, just because you are praying and fasting, well, everybody was praying and fasting. Even Yazid was not tariqus salat. Yazid did not quit the prayers. He prayed his Friday prayers on a Wednesday because he was drunk, but he was not tarkus salat. Are we silly enough to just consider the prayers, hollow prayers of people, as the criteria to judge that they are very holy? Are we silly?
Never.
But that's the way some people are. They consider those people who are, you know, who doesn't care to defend the dignity of Rasulullah to be very holy. So when we are talking about Imam Hussein alayhi salam, we must remember that this personality, although the fact that the most talked about incident of Imam Hussein's personality is his Qiyam, an uprising of Karbala. But unfortunately, in our Muslim gatherings, that is the least understood story of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The least understood story. If this story was properly understood, we would have found revolutions in our minds. Because anybody who understands the Qiyam and uprising of Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam, he cannot survive without making a revolution first of all in his own minds before making a change in the society. And he would end up becoming shaheed. Because Imam Hussein himself has said, "Man lahiqa bi istashhada." Isn't that the hadith of Imam Hussein? Whosoever joins me would become shaheed. "Man lahiqa bi istashhada. Wa man takhallafa anni falan yablugha al-falah abada." Whosoever turns his back from me, he can never find falah and success. So, but some people say, well, we are doing taqiyya. And this is one of those most ununderstood concepts of Islam. Taqiyya means protecting hifz-e maktab, protecting your faith. It doesn't mean protecting your life. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that taqiyyatu dini wa dinu abai. Taqiyya is my religion and religion of my forefathers. Prophet did taqiyya, Imam Ali did taqiyya, all the Ahlul Bayt did taqiyya, and that's why they became shaheeds. Imam Hussein did taqiyya because he protected Islam and Quran and the Sharia, and that's why he became shaheed, because of taqiyya. People who think, well, we are doing taqiyya, and let whatever happens to Islam, let it happen, we are doing taqiyya. Basically, we are protecting our lives. And let Islam be jeopardized, let Islam be ruined, you know, that's the way they are sakit over tahut. That's the way they are idle. They don't say a word over what wrongs have been done, you know. You know, you go to websites where they're counting the bodies of Iraqis being killed every day. Iraqibodycount.org. Just keep on sitting idle and keep on counting the bodies. Not even a single word. I honor those of the Americans 1,000 times more than some of the Muslims who are not ready to say a word against the zulm committed against the oppressed people. I honor those people who were protesting on the Lincoln Memorial against the war on Iraq. They have more ruhut taslim, which is the real definition of Islam, what Imam Ali alayhi salam has said, al-Islam huwa taslim. Islam is not the person that I'm born to Muslim parents and that's it, it's some given thing. I have to do something to be a Muslim. I have to do something to be a mu'min. I have to do something to bil amal tuhsal al jannah, la bil amal. You achieve the paradise through your action, not with your hope. Did I stay idle and just keep on hoping, Allah, may Allah send me to paradise? It's never going to happen. So we find that's the most ununderstood story. So let's go back and have a very quick visit before I end my speech. A very quick visit to the city of Kufa in the year 60th Hijrah, 60. Muhaddis Qummi has narrated that when Hazrat Muslim ibn Aqil, the deputy of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, arrived in the city of Kufa, there were 4,000 people accompanying Muslim, please pay attention, accompanying Muslim ibn Aqil, 4,000 people. He did not reach the palace of Ibn Ziyad, la'anatullah alayh, and the 4,000 number decreased to 300. And finally, when the time, the mothers were coming, grabbing the hands of their kids and forcing them to get back to their homes, that means don't accompany Muslim ibn Aqil, you are hurting your lives, you may end up getting killed. Mothers coming, grabbing the hands of their sons and taking them back to their homes. Muhaddis Qummi says, and narrated by Abu Mikhnaf in his Maqtal. And finally, when the time of Maghrib prayers arrived, there were 30 people, 30, in the Jama'at of Maghrib with Muslim ibn Aqil, the Naib of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And when the Jama'at of Maghribain was done, and he started to move towards the Darul Imara, the official, you know, that compound, the royal compound of Ibn Ziyad, and he reached close to the Babul Kinda, very, very famous gateway entrance into the royal compound, Babul Kinda. There were only 10 people when he got close to the door, and as he stepped into the royal compound, Darul Amara, there was no person with him. Now you see, from 4,000 to 300 to 30 to 10 to 0. Now my question, I have one question now that we are talking about Imam Hussein. It's not a ritual. We are not doing any ritual here. If we are doing a ritual, there is no sawab in any ritual. We consider the zikr of Imam Hussein alayhi salam as the ibadat of Allah. Zayyinu majalisakum bi dhikri Ali ibn Abi Talib. The zikr of Ahlul Bayt is an ibadat of Allah. We are doing an ibadat of God. It's not a ritual. It's not adat and taqaleed and rusum. This is not adat and taqaleed. It's not no custom. It's the ibadat of Allah going on. So let's understand what happened, so that it doesn't happen again with Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and his na'ib today. So 4,000 to 300 to 30 to 10 to 0. My question to you, all these Shias who wrote letters to Muslim ibn Aqil, other sects of Islam are not going to write letter to Imam Hussein and say, oh Imam Hussein, you are my Imam, why don't you come here and lead us? Other sects of Islam are not going to say that statement. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Will other sects of Islam say, oh Imam Hussein, you are my Imam, come and join us and lead us?
No.
No. Now, were those people, the followers of Imam Hussein who wrote letters, they used to pray or they were Tariq al-Salat? They used to pray. They used to fast or not? Yes, they used to fast. They used to go for Hajj also? Yes. They used to give khums? Yes. Still they are mal'oon and cursed by Allah till the Day of Judgment. Except those who did Tawbah. Don't we read the Ziyarat of Ashura which Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has taught us? لعن الله أمة قتلتك ولعن الله أمة ظلمتك ولعن الله أمة سمعت بذلك فرضيت به. Even those people who heard about that, but they still were راضي and pleased, do nothing, stayed idle, they allowed Imam Hussein to get killed and slaughtered. It's a few steps different distance. When Habib ibn Mazahir can ride his horse and come from Kufa to save Imam Hussein's life in Karbala, it's a few steps distance. It's not a 1 million miles away. When Habib ibn Mazahir can come to defend Hussein ibn Ali, the rest of the 18,000 people who wrote letters could also have come. But despite the fact they were praying and they were fasting and they were doing hijab and they were giving khums and they were going for hajj, they are mal'oon and cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all the la'ineen alayhim la'natullah wa la'natul anbiya wa la'natul mursaleen wa la'nat ahlul bayt wa la'natul la'ineen ila yawm al-qiyamah. Except those people, like I said, who did the tawbah. So let's be very clear when it comes to, when we are talking to our mu'mineen, we would like to see our mu'mineen follow the footsteps of Habib ibn Mazahir. Follow the footsteps of Hani ibn Urwa. Follow the footsteps of Hur. Not the footsteps of those who stayed idle and sakit upon the zulm of Tawhud. Just because they are doing some of those hollow ibadat and considering themselves to be pious and muqaddas. How Imam Ridwanullah Alayhi used to call them, khush muqaddas ha. Dry, holy people. So we find at the end, I promised you that I would mention some of the specific attributes of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, first of all, I already mentioned that he's the father of the nine Imams. The lineage of Ahlul Bayt continued, of the nine Imams continued through him. The second of all, he the love of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is something which is going to last forever in the qulub and hearts of the mu'mineen. Because the Holy Prophet has said there's a tremendous level of love for Imam Hussein in the hearts of all the mu'mineen. Because Prophet has said, إِنَّ لِلْحُسَيْنِ حَرَارَةً فِي قُلُوبِ النَّاسِ لَن تَفْرُدَ أَبَدًا. Hussein has a warmth in the hearts of the people which it will never become cool, never cool down and never fade and never disappear. That's the love of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And also we find that istijabatu du'a tahta qubbatihi. One of the specific attributes of Imam Hussein alayhi salam that the du'a is accepted and mustajab under the dome of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. If we have any du'a from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, go to Karbala and ask that du'a under the dome of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and he's accepted. That's a specific attribute of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And ash-shifa'u fi turbatihi. The turbat of Imam Hussein, the soil of Imam Hussein alayhi salam has shifa in it. In Islam it is haram to consume the soil. Despite the fact the soil may be tahir and pak, but taharat and najasat is a different ruling of Islam. Hilliyat and hurmat is a totally different ruling. Despite the fact the soil is tahir and pak, it's still haram to eat. Except the soil of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, which is not just not haram, but actually it is mustahab. Because Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam has said, Hanniku awladakum bi ma'il furat wa turbatil Hussein. Tahniq in Arabic, we say that you take a little bit soil and you dip it into the water of Furat and give it to your newborn baby to taste the soil of Imam Hussein after the birth. This is mustahab in Islam. This is sawab. And even for the sick people, it has shifa. That's the only soil which is permissible in Islam to consume. Because it has shifa. This is not an ordinary soil. The soil of Karbala, the turbat of Karbala, that was the soil. This is one of those two lands. The land of Karbala, of the haram of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and the Kaaba, these are the two lands which Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says were raised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time of Tufan and storm of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam. So even the Tufan and storm of Hazrat Nuh cannot wet these two lands. Because these earths were raised up by Allah. How Imam Sadiq alayhi salam teaches us. It's not an ordinary land. So we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with the belief of the walayat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, which never combines with the support of any tahut. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to understand and to practice the ma'arif and the high level teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wa salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wa al-Muslimin. واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Thank you.